The Sword Run, a great ride for a great cause. Saturday, May 9 at Clarksburg City Park in Nutterford. Starting at 10 a.m., enjoy mouth-watering, slow-smoked barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 grand prize. The Sword Run, a family-friendly charity event annually on the second Saturday in May. Even if you don't ride, come by for a great day at the park. Learn more at swordrun.com. Brought to you by 102.3 WFBY-FM, WDTV, Hyde's Meatpacking, and the Azusa Street Riders Motorcycle Ministry.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Today is Stand for Marriage Sunday. In a few days, the Supreme Court is going to hear arguments for and against redefining marriage in America. A few weeks after that, the court is expected to release their opinion. Though marriage between a man and woman has existed since the beginning, the time-honored institution is under fire. For nearly 20 years, the debate has raged. Before federal judges began to overturn marriage laws, 30 states had protected natural marriage. Now the high court is poised to try and decide for us all. Honestly, I don't believe they have that right. Marriage is too important an institution to be left in the hands of judges. Marriage between a man and a woman is the basic unit of society. Statistics show that when a man and woman make a marriage commitment, it increases their economic productivity, their financial success, personal health, and happiness. Since marriage also produces children, it is of great importance to the continuation and stability of society. Academic studies show over and over that kids raised by their married mom and dad are most likely to be successful. Bottom line, redefining marriage dilutes what has worked since the beginning and ignores the fundamental needs of children. Every child needs a mom and a dad. So government should seek to reinforce natural marriage, not redefine it. Perhaps you've heard the bogus claim that redefining what constitutes a marriage won't affect the institution of marriage. Well, listen to what those proposing to redefine marriage are saying to each other when they are really being honest about the matter. In the following excellent clip produced by the Alliance Defending Freedom, the first voice you'll hear is that of a same-sex activist named Masha Gessen. Listen.
Fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage when we get there. You know, because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change. And that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change. And again, I don't think it should exist.
Marriage, not just your marriage, the institution of marriage, the lifelong union of a man and woman as husband and wife, a personal promise with a public purpose. Here's how it works. There's a variety of relationships between adults out there. Boyfriend, girlfriend, same-sex, polygamous, or multiple partners. The public purpose is why the law recognized marriage as an institution of husband and wife. It sends a social message about the importance of a dad and mom. Though a husband and wife will not always have children, that doesn't change marriage, or the profound implications on society from those who do have children. Only a mother and father can uniquely provide children with separate, distinct, and irreplaceable parenting gifts. The more children that receive those gifts and that guidance over time, the more that society benefits, like reduced criminal behavior, a decrease in high school dropouts, less children in poverty, fewer women exploited, and children neglected. And that's only a few of the many benefits. Nothing better guarantees those societal benefits than a married mom and dad, which is why marriage serves a unique public purpose. When marriage is weak in a society, those benefits turn into burdens. They become problems the government will have to deal with one way or another. That's why government has always had an interest in making marriage strong. And today, lots of things are weakening it, from adultery to no-fault divorce laws. But the latest challenge is from same-sex activists, who seek to redefine the very institution, which will send a new message, making dad and mom an option, undermining the needs and benefits marriage was designed to give society. And if marriage is redefined, why shouldn't other options be included?
Polyamory, it's called, in which multiple lovers live together openly under one roof, a woman and two men.
No one knows exactly how many polygamists live in this country.
A husband, three wives, and 18 children. The head of this plural household, meet Michael Colley.
We would like to start having the debate nationally about polygamy.
Same-sex activists tell us,
ending the exclusion from marriage would strengthen families and would take nothing away from anyone else.
Except it hasn't in places where it's already been tried, like Scandinavia, Spain, or Canada, where redefining marriage did nothing to improve falling numbers of people getting married and having children. Redefining marriage did not strengthen marriage in society. But this isn't just about redefining marriage. It's about reordering society and culture.
Because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change. And that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change. And again, I don't think it should exist.
We're talking about a new bill that's now making its way through our state legislature. It would allow judges to legally recognize more than two parents for a child.
But what about children who have more than one set of parents?
Well, my husband and I are co-parenting our two daughters with a couple, a lesbian couple. I'm the biological father for both kids, and one of the moms is the biological mother for both daughters.
A Valley man, pregnant, delivering three children. Beatty was born a woman, Tracy, but later underwent a sex change.
Governor Brown, though, has just 12 days left to decide whether to force public schools to teach gay history.
This mom, who did not want to be identified, got the flyer from school last week announcing that this Friday would be Gender Bender Day. Boys dress up like girls, girls dress up like boys.
Gallaudet University has placed its chief diversity officer on paid leave because she signed a petition that gave Maryland voters a say on same-sex marriage.
As you see there, that is Phyllis Burgess, the woman that we've just identified, and she walked there holding, as you can see, a large cross. Within just moments, it didn't take long for that cross to be pulled out of her hand, and the woman standing by as the cross gets trampled. And
gay rights activists are targeting a Lakewood cake shop. Tom, protesters would like to see this cake shop behind me boycotted completely.
Phillips says he takes every cake personally and won't make a cake for an event he doesn't believe should even exist.
Atlanta pastor Louis Giglio, tapped to give the benediction at the president's second inaugural, is now pulling out of the festivity because of a firestorm over his mid-1990s sermon on homosexuality.
Well, a same-sex couple decides to give their 11-year-old son hormone blockers. They want to give him more time to decide if he wants to be a boy or if he wants to be a girl.
The decision to allow a 45-year-old transgender student to use the women's locker room has upset many parents and faith-based groups in Washington. Now, the student who identifies as a woman but has male genitalia is being allowed to use a locker room shared by females at Evergreen College, as well as the high school girls swim team and the Children's Swim Academy.
Redefining marriage, reinterpreting history, reinventing gender, and rewriting freedom. That's why Alliance Defending Freedom has been on the front lines of this issue with our allies. Because for those who wish to change marriage, their purpose has always been about changing society.
We have to change the minds. We can't expect any one group to be better on our issues than any other group. We live in a homophobic society.
And, you know, the benefits issue is one thing, but that happens relatively in private. That's your relationship to your government. When you're able to go out socially and say, this is my husband, right, or this is my wife, and have people know that your relationship is respected by the church, by the nation, as fully equal to a straight relationship, that matters, right?
We are not only fighting for legal equality. We want to transform society, a truly transformative change, change that shifts the very foundations of our society. This is the change that lasts, and this is the change to which we are called.
Society turns on the outcome of this debate, a debate not about your marriage, but about the purpose for marriage in society. Whether it is upheld as a model for more married moms and dads, or becomes a megaphone for more same-sex activism. The foundations of society are being shaken. Future generations will never hear that a mom and dad matter when having a mom and a dad are merely presented as optional. Redefining marriage undermines society. But strong marriages shelter everything. That's why we work to strengthen and protect marriage. Because marriage strengthens and protects us.
We'll be back with more right after this. The Sword Run, a great ride for a great cause. Saturday, May 9th at Clarksburg City Park in Nutterford. Starting at 10 a.m., enjoy mouth-watering, slow-smoked barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 grand prize. The Sword Run, a family-friendly charity event annually on the second Saturday in May. Even if you don't ride, come by for a great day at the park. Learn more at swordrun.com. Brought to you by 102.3 WFBY-FM, WDTV, Hyde's Meatpacking, and the Azusa Street Riders Motorcycle Ministry. The audio you heard just before the break is from a video from the Alliance Defending Freedom. The content is even more impacting when you see it in video format. I encourage pastors and churches to download and display the video to their congregation. Marriage is the lifelong union of a husband and wife. It is timeless, universal, and unique, and benefits society, especially children, in ways no other relationship can. That's why marriage policy is rooted in the reality that children need a mother and a father. While not every husband and wife will have children, every child still has needs and deserves a mom and a dad. So, in essence, the government has an interest in the institution of marriage because marriage is a personal promise with a public purpose. We've been seeking God for His help, for His hand of guidance upon the justices of the Supreme Court and upon the lawyers arguing before them during a 21-day period of prayer and fasting for marriage and for the Supreme Court. That 21 days of prayer is due to end on April 28, the day the High Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments. In 2008, Californians voted for a second time to keep marriage in their state as between one man and one woman. In 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court nullified the will of the California people. In 2007, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins warned, "We appear to be entering a difficult time in the history of our nation with no clear light shining in the distance. The spiritual battle for the future of this nation has intensified in the last 6 months beyond what many of us ever envisioned in such a short period of time. We are witnessing a rising tide of evil in our nation that threatens the very foundations of our republic. If we are to succeed in defending faith, family, and freedom, let alone advancing these core ideals in this nation, we need the Lord to raise up a standard and drive back this flood of evil that seeks to take the lives of the unborn, redefine marriage and family out of existence, and restrict, if not remove, our freedom to live out our Christian faith. While we wrestle with the political, what we really face is spiritual at its core." What Tony Perkins said in 2007 should be obvious to every American Christian in 2015. During the next short while, the U.S. Supreme Court could rule again on four same-sex marriage cases and declare same-sex marriage a constitutional right in all 50 states. We all share guilt for having arrived at this moment. Our only real hope is God. Listen to this next clip, which is audio from a video made freely available by the Family Research Council.
President Ronald Reagan once said that freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. I'm Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council. In our nation's capital, a decision is about to be made that will cut to the very heart of our republic. In June, the Supreme Court will rule on the issue of same-sex marriage. The issue is already made for an intense debate across our country. But let's take a few moments to seek the truth about what's really at stake. Throughout the country, the majority of Americans continue to believe that marriage should be between one man and one woman. And even more believe that the Supreme Court should not force all 50 states to redefine marriage. But maybe most importantly is the fact that 81% of Americans believe the government should leave people free to follow their beliefs as they live their daily lives at work and in the way they run their businesses. What's happening, though, is quite the opposite.
A gal and her mom came in, they sat down, and just like every other time, I said, "Okay, what's the wedding date?"
He asked the bride in Gruden's name.
She kind of giggled, said it's 2008. two brides. I was actually very apologetic. I said, I'm really sorry. I think I wasted your time. We don't do cakes for same-sex ceremonies.
Rob has been a customer of ours for a long time, and we had a good relationship, and we were chit-chatting, and he says, oh, I'm going to get married. And I just grabbed his hand and said, I'm sorry, Rob, I can't do your flowers because of my relationship with Jesus Christ.
The state of Oregon says a Gresham bakery broke the law when it refused to bake a wedding cake for a couple because that couple is gay.
Wedding photographers, florists, bakers, and caterers are increasingly being punished by the government. Crushing fines threaten to run them out of business, and in some cases, they face the possibility of losing their homes, all for simply following their biblical convictions on the definition of marriage.
I don't think the founders could have ever conceived a time when someone was told, you can't practice your trade, you can't engage in business if somehow the government doesn't like what you think and doesn't accept your particular faith point of view.
The central question becomes whether these choices are legitimate expressions of what it means to be an American, which is to have the freedom to live according to one's beliefs.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Or whether these sorts of choices are the antithesis of what it means to be an American. In 2015, is it possible for well-intentioned Americans to legitimately exercise their faith and religious freedoms in a way that also shows love and respect for all people? Is standing for biblical truth at odds with the biblical commandment to love our neighbor? Or do they flow together?
Indeed, in almost every one of those instances, the provider of those services had happily served homosexual clientele, often for years.
Baronel has been serving one of the plaintiffs in this case for 9 years, knowing fully well that he identified it as homosexual. It didn't matter to her.
But when it comes to engaging in something as sacred as a marriage ceremony, that's different.
I mean, if Rob walked in my door today, I'd give him a hug and sell him flowers.
I'm not a hater. I love everybody, and I love gay people. I've had gay friends. I don't hate them. It's not about that.
Beyond the marriage issue, if we're even peripherally aware of what's happening across America, we know that the landscape of religious liberty is changing every day. Whether it's in business, or in the military, or in our schools, and now on the doorsteps of our churches, religious freedom is increasingly taking a back seat to a government-mandated, politically correct way of thinking that marginalizes the freedoms of individual Americans of all faiths. With the Supreme Court about to rule on same-sex marriage, it's time that Americans take a stand here for the religious freedom that's at the heart of both the founding of this country and what should be a truly good and free America today.
He's talking about a wall of separation so the state could not tell people of faith how to live their lives.
It's time for Americans to become increasingly aware of what's happening with their religious freedoms.
If you believe in America, if you care about the liberties we've had in America, you need to understand what they are. You need to understand what they are not. It's very fragile, and it will go away if we do not attend to the threats to religious freedom right now.
You know, Jefferson said, a free people must be an educated people. People need to learn about their rights, learn where their rights come from, learn that religious freedom is not granted by government and therefore can't be taken away by government.
And it's time to engage. We must begin by humbling ourselves before the Lord in repentant prayer. It's time to gather in homes, in small groups, in churches, wherever we can, to better understand the importance of rallying now to preserve religious liberty, the foundation for all of our freedoms. Today, you can take a critical first step in getting engaged. I encourage you to view One Generation Away, an award-winning film that spells out in clear detail the issue of religious liberty in America today. We're making 3 copies of this captivating DVD available for a donation of $20, which will in part be used to further the defense of religious liberty on numerous fronts. Arm yourself by viewing this outstanding film. Then be salt and light by circulating the extra copies and discussing this topic at home, at work, and among your friends. It is up to all of us to keep America free for future generations to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you join us today? Please make your stand for marriage. Make your stand for religious liberty. Let us all stand today for the truth.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
We'll be back with more right after this. The Sword Run, a great ride for a great cause. Saturday, May 9th at Clarksburg City Park in Nutterford. Starting at 10 a.m., enjoy mouth-watering, slow-smoked barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 grand prize. The Sword Run, a family-friendly charity event annually on the second Saturday in May. Even if you don't ride, come by for a great day at the park. Learn more at swordrun.com. Brought to you by 102.3 WFBY-FM, WDTV, Hyde's Meatpacking, and the Azusa Street Riders Motorcycle Ministry.
Pastors and churches are encouraged to go to the Family Research Council's website and the Alliance Defending Freedom website and there download video resources that you can show to your congregation. Find out more at frc.org and alliancedefendingfreedom.org. You heard Tony Perkins there mention that God really is our only hope in all of this. And in echoing that sentiment, let me give you a praise report about the amazing things that God is doing in the United Nations. Recently, a minister friend of mine from Israel was invited and permitted to speak to the United Nations at an installation on the continent of Europe. And here, where the United Nations has an installation that is hosted on American soil, amazing things have been happening. In the office of a high-ranking UN official, several of our United Pentecostal Church ministers have been permitted to come in and teach Bible studies and address people about the truth of God's Word. And several people have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name. Recently, an ordained United Pentecostal Church International minister by the name of Lee Stoneking, who is one of my favorite preachers, just addressed the UN General Assembly on April 22. Speaking about faith. And so, in light of the need for a solution to the violence going on in the world right now, genocide happening in several places, Christians being slaughtered by militant radical Islamists, in light of the attack on marriage and the slaughter of living human beings inside their mother's womb, in light of all of this evil, let me bring to you this powerful testimony of one of our ministers who is literally raised from the dead. Listen to Lee Stoneking addressing the General Assembly of the United Nations.
You are looking at a miracle. By all medical expertise, I'm not supposed to be alive. On November 12, 2003, I fell dead of a massive heart attack in the airport in Sydney, Australia. I was clinically dead 45 minutes. They administered CPR, resuscitation, and they gave me 10 electric shock treatments to my heart. In the United States, they give 3 shock treatments and they stop. In Australia, they give 4 shock treatments and they stop. They gave me 10 electric shock treatments to my heart. The blood had coagulated already in my hands and my arms, in my feet and my legs. There was absolutely no hope for me at all. I was just a corpse. They took my body and put it on a stretcher and carried it to an ambulance. And the paperwork had been finished and it was DOA. Dead on arrival at the hospital. But in the ambulance, on the way to the hospital, when all that medical science knew to do, and with all that was at their disposal to administer, it did not work. But in the ambulance, just a corpse lying on that stretcher, Jesus stepped on board that ambulance, and my heart began to beat, and the breath came back. The driver was startled. The paramedic was startled. He told me later, he said, I have never seen anyone recover from what has happened to you. This all happened November 12th, 2003. After several weeks in Australia, I returned to the United States to my home by myself because I was totally healed. In 2004, I went to a hospital in Jackson, Tennessee for just a major checkup, and they gave me a complete blood lipid profile, triglycerides, LDLs, HDLs, cholesterol, etc. In a couple of weeks, I went back for the results, and when I walked in, the doctor looked at me and he said, your results are absolutely excellent. He said, but Reverend, we now can check the DNA in a person's body. We decided to check your DNA. He said, when we check your DNA, he said, when God raised you miraculously from the dead, he removed the APOE genogenetic marker for heart disease out of every cell in your body. He said, that is impossible. It's impossible. He said, only God could do such a thing. He said, when God healed you and raised you up, he totally, miraculously healed you. So I am grateful today to be alive because we know, having been clinically dead for 45 minutes with no breath and no heartbeat, I asked the paramedic later, I said, Nigel, what happened when you shocked my heart? He said, it would beat three or four times and it would stop. We know that after 6 minutes or less with no oxygen to the brain, there is irreparable brain damage. But God has totally raised me from the dead. Finally, a doctor looked at me and he said, you have defied all the laws of medical science. I looked at him and I said, I didn't, but I know the one who did. His name is Jesus. I am an apostolic Christian. And my message here to you today is this. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The answer, Your Excellencies, to the violence in our day and to the human atrocities in our day is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. I give you Jesus. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
The Sword Run, a great ride for a great cause, Saturday, May 9 at Clarksburg City Park in Nutterford. Starting at 10 a.m., enjoy mouth-watering, slow-smoked barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 grand prize. The Sword Run, a family-friendly charity event, annually on the second Saturday in May. Even if you don't ride, come by for a great day at the park. Learn more at swordrun.com. Brought to you by 102.3 WFBY-FM, WDTV, Hyde's Meatpacking, and the Azusa Street Riders Motorcycle Ministry.